My name is Garland Robinson. Our lesson today, we're going to be talking about water baptism and works. You realize there are several different kinds of works mentioned in the New Testament? A lot of people don't know that. They just think of works and think that's all there is. Well, there's different kinds of works. There are works of the flesh. We read about in Galatians 5, 19 to 21. These are immoral. They oppose the kingdom of God. They keep one from being saved. Number two, there are works of Satan or works of darkness. We read about them in 1 John 3 and verse 8. These are works that originate with Satan. They keep one also from being saved. Number three, there are works of moral goodness. We read about them in Titus 3 and verse 5. You know, the world recognizes these as good works. They're even helping others many times. But they have no power to save in and of themselves. Anyone, even a non-Christian, can do these works. They will not, and they cannot save. Number four, there are works of the law of Moses. We read about in Romans 3 and verse 20, and Galatians 3 and verses 19 to 25. They cannot save. They were never intended to save. They simply identify and condemn sin. They show man's inability to save himself. Number five, there are works of man's righteousness. We read about them in Romans 10, verses 1 to 3. These are works that are designed by man, thinking that they would draw him closer to God, and they likewise cannot save. So none of these works justify men before God. They never have, and they never will. I've never taught they would save. I've never heard anyone else teach that these works would save or justify one before God. But there's another kind of work that's not mentioned in these five. Number six, these are works of God. These are works God designed and commands man to obey. These are sometimes called works of faith. It is these works or these commands that man must obey in order to be saved. We do not trust in our works or our performance of those works, but rather we trust, that is, we have faith in God's Word, and therefore we obey Him. That is, we obey His works, the works that He has commanded us to do. Well, what are those works? There are several of them. For one, faith. Faith is a work God designed. We read about it in John 6 and verse 29 when He says, "This is the work that God has commanded us, that we do His will." It's not man's work. It's God's work. It's a work that God commands man to do. And without man performing that work, he cannot be saved. When man complies with that work, then he cannot say he has earned salvation. Another work of God is repentance. Repentance is a work designed by God. We read of it in Luke 13:3, Acts 2:38, where God commands men to repent. It's essential to salvation. It's a work God commands man to do. Without man performing this work, he cannot be saved. When man has complied with this work, he still cannot say he has earned salvation because it's not in man. That work is in God. Confession of faith in Jesus, that's a work of God. It's a work designed by God. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33, Jesus said, "Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven." Romans 10, 9 and 10, confession is made unto salvation. Philip told the man from Ethiopia, "If you believe with all thine heart, thou mayest be baptized." And he made the good confession. He said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." It's a work that God commands man to do. And without man performing that work, he cannot be saved. When man complies with this work, he cannot say still he has earned salvation. Baptism in water for the remission of sins, that's a work of God. It's a work designed by God. It's commanded in Mark 16:16, Acts 2:38, Acts 22:16. It's a work God commands man to do. Without man performing this work, he cannot be saved. And when man complies with that work, he still can't say that he's earned salvation. He's only done that which God has commanded him to do. Now, friend, none of these works are man's works. Faith, repentance, confession, and baptism are not man's works. They're God's works. These are the works that God commands man to do. We're not trying to emphasize water baptism over the other works of God. But since that one work is under attack and it's denied by so many, it obviously then requires more of our attention. Notice these significant points concerning water baptism. Without water baptism, there's no newness of life. Romans 6 and verse 4. One either lives an old life of sin or a new life in Christ. The new life in Christ follows baptism. It does not precede baptism. Without water baptism, there's no forgiveness of sins. Acts 2 and verse 38. Since one cannot be saved without having his sins forgiven, water baptism is obviously then essential to salvation. Forgiveness of sins never follows any other action than water baptism. This is true throughout the whole New Testament. Without water baptism, there's no union with Christ. We read in Galatians 3:27 and Romans 6:3 that one is baptized into Christ. Since salvation is only offered to those who are united with Christ, that makes baptism essential to salvation. Baptism puts one into Christ where salvation is found. Without water baptism, one cannot be saved. Jesus makes that clear in Mark 16:16 when he said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Some try to deny that verse belongs in the Bible. They see the great damage it does to their faith-only doctrine, so they cannot stand it, and they try desperately to dismiss it. However, there's nothing taught in this verse that's not taught in the rest of the New Testament. It's taught in passages such as Acts 2:38, Acts 22:16, 1 Peter 3:21, Colossians 2 and verse 12, Romans 6 and verse 6, Romans 6 and verse 17 and 18. But even if Mark 16:16 didn't exist, the case for water baptism has not been heard, and the case for faith only has not been helped. So without water baptism, there's no calling on the name of the Lord. Acts 22 and verse 16. To call on the name of the Lord simply means that we rely on and we obey the commands of the Lord. Jesus is the one who commanded baptism, so we call upon His name when we obey His command to be baptized. In baptism, one is calling on the Lord's name. Shall one deny baptism's validity or its essentiality simply because he doesn't want it to have anything to do with salvation? Then we learn that without water baptism, there's no adding one to the body of Christ. On the day of Pentecost, those who were baptized were added by the Lord to His body. Acts 2:41, and then again in verse 47. No other passages speak of one being added to the body of the saved, that is, the church, other than when one is baptized. One is not added to the church at the point of faith. It's not added to the church at the point of repentance. No one's ever been added to the church at the point of confession, but it's at the time when one is baptized. So without water baptism, there's no washing away of sins. Acts 22:16 makes that clear. Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. The water of baptism does not wash sins away. One's sins are washed away by the blood of Christ. The question is, when does Christ's blood wash away sins? It is not at the point of faith, not at the point of repentance, not at the point of confession. The forgiving blood of Jesus washes sins away when one is baptized. Acts 22 and verse 16. Without water baptism, there's no contact with the blood of Christ. That's clear from Romans 6 in verse 3 and 4. Since the blood of Jesus is what washes sins away, the question is, when does one contact the blood of Christ? One contacts the blood of Christ when he or she is baptized into Christ. It was in Christ's death that he shed his blood, And it's when we die to sin and obey the likeness of his death, burial, and resurrection in water, that is, in water baptism, that we contact his precious blood. We read in Romans 6, verse 17 and 18, "Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." One is not free from sin when he first believes. He's not made free from sin when he repents. He's not made free from sin when he confesses faith in Christ. One is made free from sin when he is baptized into water for the forgiveness of sins. At least that's what Romans 6 and verse 18 says, and every other passage of the New Testament that speaks of it, it says the same thing. Without water baptism, there's no putting off the old man of sin. We read that in Romans 6 and verse 6. Without discarding one's old sinful life, there is no salvation. One must die to the sinful life and live a new life of obedience to the Lord. That is done when one is baptized. It's not when one believes, not when one repents, it's not when one confesses, but it's when one is baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Without water baptism, there's no being made free from sin. Romans 6 and verse 18. That verse is so clear one would need help to misunderstand it. Exactly when is one made free from their sins? It is when one obeys from the heart, that is, sincerely, that form of doctrine that had been delivered to us. Well, what is that form of doctrine that a sinner obeys? It is water baptism. That's the topic of discussion. That's the context of Romans 6, verses 1 to 18. One obeys a likeness of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And as Jesus died on the cross, a sinner dies to sin. As Jesus was buried in a tomb, a sinner is buried or immersed in water baptism. As Jesus was raised up from the dead, a new creature is raised up from the waters of baptism. When one obeys this form of doctrine, he is then made free from sin. He is a new creature, a new creation, one that is now made in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 says, "Old things are done away. Behold, all things are become new." That's what happens when one is baptized. So, baptism is the work that God commands man to do. Man cannot rely upon it alone, nor his performance of it, but in faith, trusting God, believing God, that God will do as he promised he would do. That is when an individual is saved from their sins. Not in our own power, but in the power of God, but nonetheless doing what God has commanded man to do.